Ann, will you come up? This is our friend, Ann Petry. And Ann is a missionary in Uganda, full time. Been there for several years, trained as a nurse. The Lord called her to something else. And she's here for a respite, but I don't think she's rested very much. Right?
It's been glorious.
And so I just asked Ann if she would share with us her life in Uganda, what it's like, where she sees God there. I'm sure everywhere, because Ann sees God everywhere.
I see him here.
But let's just welcome Ann and give her a big welcome. And we're gonna pray for her at the end.
Awesome, okay. Awesome.
Thank you. I honor the house. I honor Pastor Bill and his beautiful wife Katrina. I was here last Sunday, so I had an opportunity to partake of the worship. Oh my goodness. You guys have such an open heaven here. It's so beautiful. And I've gotten to know some of your family. That prophetic word was right on and right now. The Lord had already spoken to me this morning about casting vision for you by telling you a little bit about what he's done in my life. I was a Catholic growing up, fell in love with Jesus in the Catholic Church. I honor my brothers and sisters in the Catholic Church. I just wanted more intimacy. So the Lord showed me some Word of Faith teachers and different folks. And then I ran across a large ministry that's worldwide, and they were all about grace and faith and the unconditional love of God. And I had not ever really heard that other than the wonderful love affair I had with Jesus as a six-year-old when they told me what he did on the cross for me. It was, I wanted to be a nun, you know, because they were married to Jesus, and my little heart, you know, I had a nun, Sister Marie Therese, in first grade, and oh my gosh, I wanted to be just like her, and you know, and it was glorious. And then they told me about the big stick, Father God, you know, that he was going to get you. And, you know, here was Jesus going, no, no, remember the blood, Father, you know. So I grew up with that, and then I started hearing about the true God, not the little G-O-D that I had in my heart, but the God that loves us, that came incarnate in his Son to we don't have to go through the whole gospel because you guys got that. Okay, so, I mean, that's the word here is, you know, I get opportunity to go. God's kind of selective with me because I'm not in the country very often. And I ran into Carmen and Wendy at a conference, and they told me about your church, and they told me about your pastor and his wife, and it just leapt. It was like, I got to go there. I've got to go there. And so here I am. So it's a divine connection because I didn't know Carmen and Wendy before that conference. And come to find out that Katrina and I and Wendy and Carmen had been at another conference together, but the Lord didn't hook us, the same group, but so, you know, God just has his ways. So it's glorious to be here. What I see here is a body that loves God and loves each other. The prayer that I saw over, I know we, Bill, you called him Farmer Dan, but I know we just go with Dan. but what I saw, the love and the way the body worked together and the way you guys love each other, and I just see Jesus in all of you, and, you know, that is so rare. and so precious. And that is why God gave you that word today, because that is what he's calling you to. And I was a nurse. I had a great job. I worked in wound care for a big medical device company, and I was in downtown Chicago, and I had, you know, I had all the things of the, you know, that the world has to offer, and my heart just wanted more of God, so I ended up going to Bible college. And it was awesome because I really saw who the Father really is. And I just thought I was going to learn more about God. I had no plans to do anything with it afterwards. And we had to take our second year, we had to take a mission trip. And they offered us two choices. One was Russia, and the other was Uganda. And I was like, well, yeah, it's probably going to be pretty cold in Russia. And so, you know, I think I'll go to Uganda. So I was like, you know, I mean, a lot of, no anointing on any of it. You know, I mean, so I get to Uganda, and I felt like I was so inept, so in over my head, so ineffectual. I had prayed for people and seen healings and different things prior to going. But when I was teaching on the love of God, because we were doing discipleship, I saw myself teaching, and then I was over here, which I assume it was my spirit man, watching, and I felt the love and peace and joy of God like I have never felt. And God said to me, what have I called you to do? And I, you know, I'm like, love people? And he said, yes, I've called you to love. He's kind of helping me with the answers. And I'm like, love people? And he goes, mm-hmm, and what else? And I was like, well, preach the gospel? And he's like, yeah, I've called you to preach the gospel. He goes, but what is my pattern? I'm like, pattern, what is your pattern? So he tells me, it's discipleship. And that's what I see here. I see a group of people coming together to disciple each other and are being equipped for the work of the ministry. So what God has shown me about the word and what is going on is here I am in this love and peace of God, and he says, I want you to come to Uganda and help the person who is going to start the Bible college and a bookshop and help him start this work here. And I'm like, oh, Lord, whatever you want, you know, because I'm in this bliss, and I'm like, I call him Jehovah Sneaky for a reason, because, you know, I'm like, yes, I'll do it. I'll come, you know, not thinking about anything else. The presence lifts, and I went, oh, my goodness. I just told God I would come to Uganda. I'm like, I mean, my heart just was like, oh, I mean, I have a great job, and, you know, I mean, all those things. So the person I was going to help, who ended up being my director, came over a couple days later, and I wouldn't tell anybody anything. I was hoping that maybe, you know. So he came over and he said, God's speaking to you, isn't he? And I go, I'm looking down at my journal going, well, maybe, you know. He's like, he told you you're going to come and help me. And I'm like going, oh, Lord, he's telling other people. So I went back to school, and I walk into the school, and the gal who has a sign in looks at me and goes, you're going to Uganda. You're going to help them open the Bible college in the school, aren't you? And I'm like, oh, okay. So I decided then that I'd better go a third year to learn how to administrate and teach and handle this. So long story short, that was 10 years ago. So I went with a large ministry. I was with my director for 3 years, and he died. Yeah, very devastating. And they closed the school, and we had 120 students. And we had already graduated one class, and we had another class that had finished a year. And I came home, and God helped me. I had a friend who had cancer that I helped her go through treatment, and she's great now. She had been my director, but he called me back. He said, you know, this isn't finished. He said, you need to come back. And he asked me to work with the Nationals. So I had already helped some of the students, six. The Lord told me to support a tithe of the class. So those six students were some of my core. I had a young man come to me when I first got to Uganda, and he said, I saw you in a dream and a vision. You're supposed to be my spiritual mom. And I was like, you know what I mean? I hadn't grown up with any of that, and I didn't. I mean, I'm like, really? Okay. But he didn't want money or anything. He just wanted me to disciple him, to mentor him. And so what we did was I started with that group of six, and after they graduated, and we started a Bible college for people in the villages that can't afford to come to a big ministry Bible college. So we do it for free. What God has allowed me to do, we are in 20 districts now after 10 years. I've raised up 50 young men and women. Most of them are in their 20s and 30s that I have taught and discipled and reproduced myself in. And we also have ministry. One of the gals that was one of my core six had a heart for the prisons. So we minister in remand and Luzira prisons. And we also take children of people that are being incarcerated for life. We've taken in six personally, and then there are another 50 that we're having a marathon for this year that we're going to raise the funds to see if we can build a house to do that. Robina was in a small group at her home with another church, and they wanted a certain amount of money every week from these HIV widows that were in her group. It just happened that these were the ladies that were near her, so she was discipling them, and they were under a larger church. And she came to me, and she said, they called me Mom Ann, and she said, Mom, she says they don't have food, and the church is saying they can't come unless they give. It's called a crane. It's 500 Ugandan shillings, but this was like way outside their reach. And so, you know, I said, oh Lord, what do we do? And he gave me an idea to start them in some like a cottage industry kind of thing. So we started, taught them how to do jewelry. They take little beads and they kind of crochet them into beautiful jewelry. And then how to bake over charcoal, which is really cool because they can make these little cakes and things that it's not very common there. And then the other thing is I bought six sewing machines. And so I brought someone in to teach them how to do all these things because, of course, you know, I'm just not real crafty, but I was a nurse. I don't really have those skills. But then they learned how to sew on the sewing machines, and so what they've done is started getting some contracts for some of the schools to make uniforms and things. So because for the first, you know, year, I was just supporting them. Every month I'd give them enough food and oil, and, you know, we would school fees and all those things. And the Lord's like, you know, you better teach them to fish, because what I did to get to the field was I just cashed out my 401k and went. I know people tell me, you know what, you're crazy, and, you know, that is not, you know, you don't have any retirement, and, you know, because in 10 years that's pretty much, you know, in Uganda. But, you know, living by faith, they do it every single day. They believe for their food. They believe for everything they need. I work amongst the poor. You know, school fees are so important because they want their children to have an education, because when they don't have any schools that, you know, that you don't have to pay to go. There are no state-run schools. So I guess, you know, this is not about me. I just showed up when God said, you know, will you do this for me? Heck, I was 50 years old. I had had a great, you know, career. I was at the top of my, you know, God gave me a lot. What I would do is I worked with a wound vac company, and so I had a lot of nurses under me because I developed the market in Chicago. So I had thousands of patients on service, and this is it was a Christian company, and this machine will heal wounds, you know, like a wound that would take 6 months, it would be 6 weeks, and then I had thousands of people to pray for, because my nurses would help with the wound dressings and things, but I got to go in and pray for everybody. And you know, it's amazing, I only had one person out of thousands of people tell me that they did not want prayer. And it was a paranoid schizophrenic young man, and I just prayed from the door. These were Hindus, these were Buddhists, so I'm saying, don't let the fear of man stop you. We've been called to lay hands. Let God be responsible for the results. We are believers. We lay hands. We command that healing. We're not responsible for the results. I've seen resurrections from the dead, as have my students. We've seen creative miracles. Now, in Uganda, they only have plan A, which is Jesus. They don't have any other plans. So, you know, so it's a little bit easier because they're not looking to medicine because they don't have it. You know, we don't have a lot of that. But we do, so I also did a Pig for Pastors program. It's kind of catchy. Holy Spirit gave me that. We had all these pastors that were wanting to have their churches, but their people were so poor they couldn't have, you know, any shelter or, you know, any place. And so I was like, well, you know, how much is a pig, you know? Maybe we could do like a pig breeding program, and this would be some income for these pastors. So we got a bunch of females, and then we got the one male pig that got to go, you know, create our ministry of Pigs for Pastors. And so, you know, it was glorious because pigs are hardy, and, you know, I tried chickens, but chickens aren't as easy to take care of, and when you're not real vested in it, they don't live. So a lot of our chickens sacrifice themselves for me. I was like, sorry, Lord, I missed it on the chickens. You know, I want to tell you, though, that what is so fun about all of this is I don't strive, okay? Coming here, speaking here, you know, Bill just asked me because I was here, but God is my, you know, he sets everything up for me. The ladies and the orphans, you know, we have orphans who we're paying school fees for, you know, we're putting them in families with our ladies. You know, we've got students, we're in 20 districts. I've got, 2,500 students right now. We've got 700 in Kampala. You know, they're out in the villages. They're sharing what they've learned. They're on fire. Uganda is in revival because they were bound in religion and tribalism. And I've got kids that are on fire that are taking the gospel. We just got some land in Kenya. They gave us a school and they gave us land, and we've already set up a work there. And Kigali, Rwanda, we're getting ready to go there next month when I get back. I'm actually leaving the 19th. And a gentleman that taught at my Bible college from South Africa, who has a worldwide ministry, who I've been trying to get to come and see us for 5 years, because I knew my son Gerald and he were just alike. They ended up both at a conference in Malawi speaking, and he sends me this messenger message and goes, "Is this Gerald Wallace Simbi your Gerald?" I go, "Yeah." He said, "The one you've been trying to get me to work with for 5 years?" I go, "That's the one." He goes, "He's me with black skin on." I said, "It's just God. I didn't, you know what I mean?" I kept saying, "Purdy, you need to come to Uganda." And he just was like, so he's going to open the door so Gerald will be able to travel, you know, and fulfill his destiny. So I guess what I'm trying to share is, you're right about there's not anyone too old. Joshua, Caleb, Moses, you know, almost all of them got called in and really started seeing stuff about 80, right? Okay. That's when their ministry, a lot of it began, you know, because they were on the other side of the desert trying to get their stuff together so God could use them. So You show up, and he'll help you with all the rest. It's just being willing. All it is saying, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do, go wherever you want me to go, and say whatever you want me to say. It doesn't make you popular, but it is glorious. It doesn't make you popular with Earth, but I think we got a cheering section in heaven. Yeah, and I've been doing, I've been being taught about the courts for about 4 years now. It's some of the most powerful, fruitful things that I've ever seen. So Pastor Bill was talking about the courts, I was just like, oh my gosh, this is wonderful that you guys, and then, you know, Katrina and I feel like we've known each other forever, and Wendy and Carmen, and, you know, I mean, everyone I've met here, you're my tribe, you know? I mean, we know when we meet our tribe. People who, as he said, world changers, you are going to see this move of God, and it's going to come out of here, and I'll tell you why. Because when I look at this platform through God's eyes, I see Jesus. I see a place that God can land on because you love each other, you're sacrificial, you want to make Jesus famous, and you want people to see him in you. And that's the key. Every day when I get up in the morning, I just ask the Lord, I said, let him show me you, Lord. Let him see you through me. All of you have a sphere of influence, all right? Maybe your family, your children, your people around you at work, wherever. You've all got a powerful destiny to change whoever it is that God, you know, it may be just prayer. You know what I mean? It may be going to the courts of heaven. But God's got a part for each one of us. We're not spectators. We're in the game. And a lot is riding on us fulfilling our destinies here. You're here. You're in this place, in this time, in this moment, right here, because God has called you to such a time as this. You are all Esthers. This is who, we're it, okay? I think the angels were looking at the disciples going, that's it? You're leaving it with them? You know? Because before Pentecost, you know, before the Holy Spirit came, you know, they went back to fishing, you know? It's not about us. It's who's in us. All our songs today were all about that. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. He is fully manifest in us as he is for Sean, 4:17, as he is, so are we in this world right now. You don't have to clean yourself up. You don't have to change yourself. He's already done it. You've already got him. You're already crucified with Christ. You're in his image. Just ask that your soul and your mind agree. It's all in there. It is all in us. We don't have to strive to get there. We're there. He's in us. We just have to get our head and our hearts to agree with it. You know, we're not missing a thing. I just started laying hands on people because I'm in a nursing home working for my wound vac company, and he goes, I want you to pray for that one for healing. I'm like going, and praise the Lord, this woman was in a coma. She had a big bed sore. She was in a coma. Because I'm going like, what? Do what? And he's bringing scripture back to me, and I'm going, okay. So I shut the door, and I go over, and I go, be healed. And I'm out the door. You know, I'm like, because I was like, I mean, talk about fear and trembling. You're just like, oh, my gosh, what am I doing? I didn't want anybody to, you know, see me or hear me. So then I go out to talk to the nurse about this lady's wound, and she goes, oh, my gosh, I got the worst migraine headache. And I hear coming out of me, I go, oh, I could pray for you. I could pray for you that your headache will go. And, I mean, it's the spirit, because I'm like going, oh, my gosh, what am I saying? So I just went, be healed to her, and she walked out and walked down the hall and came back, and she goes, you know, she goes, this headache is gone. She goes, that's amazing. I'm like, oh, yeah, it's really amazing. Because I was just doing what I heard him tell me to do. I don't even know that I had a whole lot of faith about it. You know, but I knew that. So I'm just saying, we need to just go for it. Because we got a big God who's going to back us up in everything.
right? Yeah, here I just show up in Uganda, and he brings me widows, he brings me orphans, he brings me pastors, he brings me kids who want to take this gospel to the world. They want to show the love of God, and, you know, they're so pure and so beautiful, and they just run with it. You know, all I'm doing is going, you know, okay, Daddy, what's my, you know, just encourage them. You know, I've taught them now, so, you know, it's all just be a mom. You know, what do moms do? They just get underneath them and just, you know, be a servant leader and just go. You know? God has great. So all this to say, you know, I just showed up. There's nothing special. You know, from ordinary, I love it, to extraordinary. What God is doing, I'm not extraordinary, but what God is doing in Uganda is extraordinary. And, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of lives who are being touched. We had 30,000 in the last 2 years, 16 and 17, I was looking at the numbers, and we take our students and they have to go on a mission trip. So they just go to a different, we took some to Kenya, that was really our farthest, but we just take them within the country because we don't really have the money to take them far. But we take like 70 students at a time, we take them into a place where we're gonna start a new work. And they're required to go out, and they're to share the gospel, get people baptized in the Holy Spirit, pray for their healing, and get their contact information to see if they want to come to Bible college, because it's free, so everybody should come. And so what I do, this is kind of our blueprint that God showed me, is we have we tell them that we're going to bring doctors and nurses and pharmacists and dentists, which we do. And we're going to have a medical camp because everybody wants to come to see a doctor in a medical camp. So what we do then is we set up our tent, and we're over like 3 days, we can probably see maybe, if we're really pushing, 500 people, and thousands show up because we have an advanced team that goes and puts up posters and things. So what we do is we get the students to pray. You know, some go out and go door to door and meet people and pray for them, and then others pray for people in the line, and probably 80% of the people get healed before they ever get to the doctor. Okay, well, here's my model. Once we start a meeting, all right, once we're going to tell them the good news of the gospel, which they've never heard, you know, is that Jesus did it all, and you don't have a part other than to believe in him and just, you know, follow. Yeah, because they're manipulated for money, and you know what religion does to you. So these new people that have just received Jesus, I minister the baptism of the Holy Spirit to them. So we get everybody baptized in the Holy Spirit, my leaders, and everybody's walking around making sure that everybody's speaking in tongues. And then we say, okay, if you've got some kind of challenge in your body and you need a miracle, raise your hand. Well, almost every hand goes up. So then we have the person next to them who just received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, just got born again that same afternoon. Pray for them. Everybody gets healed. Everybody gets healed. Nobody's looking at me because they don't need to look at me. I'm not the one who brought the baptism. I'm not the one who brought anything. They're all equipped. Then we train them up in what they've got. You know, we share with them, hey, what is the fullness of everything that you're packing? Because each one of you guys is packing. I guess the NRA or the anti-gun people don't like that phrase, but you're packing. You're packing all of God. As he is, it is so true. And you know what the challenge is we don't, fear of man, fear of how we're going to be received. You know what I mean? There's lots of things that stop us here because there is a lot of persecution. It's much, honestly, well, and I have a grace for Uganda, but it's much easier over there. I can stop anybody and pray for them and, you know what I mean, and share the gospel. They'll all listen to me and, you know, and here it's, you know, it can be a little daunting, you know, it can be, you know, but just leak all over people, you know, just like Peter's shadow. You know, we were talking about, you know, Peter. You know, Peter took him back to fishing. He denied the Lord. You know what I mean? Peter is my hero, you know, because I'm like, Daddy, without you, it's just, you know, it just isn't. So I guess what I'm asking is, the destiny is here, the word is there. I think you've all feel it in your hearts, you've felt it stirring, that God is going to do amazing things through this house, because he can land here, because he sees himself here. And I see him here. And I'm so honored and I'm so humbled that God would let me come and speak to you. And just whatever it is he has for you, just say yes. Just say yes. I had everything that the world has to offer, and I am so much more fulfilled and happy now than I have ever been. All this stuff we think, this stuff we build, you know, I mean, take a look at it and ask the Father. Not that you can't have nice things. Of course you can. Your daddy's kids, he wants you to have beautiful homes and nice things. But, you know, ask him what your part is. You know, what is my part in all of this, Daddy? You want to bring, you know, there's a harvest of harvesters coming, and you're going to be instrumental in that. We're going to raise up the billion soul harvest that Bob Jones talked about. Is not the harvest, it's the harvest of the harvesters. In other words, it's the people that we're going to raise up, that we're going to help equip, you know, especially the moms and the mothers and fathers in the body of Christ that are here. We're going to get them ready to bring in the rest of the billions, the 5.2 billion people that don't know Jesus yet. So just tell him, all you have to do is say, I'm willing. You know what I mean? Just go to the Lord and say, you know what? I'm willing. I'll do. I'll go. I'll speak. I'll do. Because all you have to do is show up. He does all the rest. He takes care of everything. You think you don't have the money to do it? Just step out by faith. Because I'm an example. Okay, I don't have any income. I haven't had any since I got through my retirement. But you know what? God takes care of me. I was in a beautiful home of Wendy's and Carmen's this week. How glorious to get to be here. My daddy just takes such wonderful care of me. And he'll do it for you too. I'm not special. Well, we're all special. But you know what I mean? I am very ordinary, you know. So thank you so much. Let me, I just want to pray for you. Father, I just thank you. I thank you for this house, Bread of Life, this ecclesia. I thank you, Father, that you have such great plans for them. I thank you, Father, that each one will seek you to find out what you have for them. I thank you, before the foundation of the world, you had a plan for them. You have a destiny. You have a scroll that they agreed to. And Lord, we just ask you to bring that to them. Lord, just quicken it to them, their passions, their desires. Help them follow them. And Lord, we just thank you for the blessings and the lighthouse and the Goshen that this house will be. We thank you that you have raised up Bill and Katrina and many others to steward this well. We ask you for your blueprint, for your scroll to be made clear to them, how to proceed and how to steward this, because it is large and it is huge and it is powerful and it is all of you. And I bless it and I call it forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.